we are beneath what God originally intended us to be. There is only one thing certain about man. Man is not what he was meant to be.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This is part two from Pastor Rogers' new series, Jesus Said. This lesson is entitled, Follow Me and I Will Make You. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
It's not hard for you to get up the next morning and go do what you do, because that's the purpose for which God's called you. Are you with me tonight? All right. It's not hard for me to get up out of the bed to go do what I do, because I love what I do. The point is, as a disciple, it's not something that I'm going to do one time and then I just kind of float along. He's teaching me, he's making me, he's molding me day by day, hour by hour. And many times we miss the making and the molding because it comes in a place of a rub or adversity. You most of the time don't learn life's lessons by somebody coming up and just patting you. In fact, the Bible verifies it, and it's not that we all the time have to have a whipping. Come on now. I mean, Dad took me out one time from church to get my mind right through my gluteus maximus. But I didn't have to be taken out again. How many of you like to learn the lesson the first time around? All right, there's a few of us. And especially if the Heavenly Father takes you to the holy woodshed. Anybody been taken there before? All right. Well, usually you don't figure it out until you make the circle around. Oh, that's what that was. All right. So iron sharpens iron. So making a disciple means it's a lifetime. I'm saying to you, once you settle into what you do, then you settle into what you do and you know, okay, I'm a disciple. I'm not going to be anything else. So I'm in this thing, and so I might as well pick up the book that is the guide and learn and follow the Lord and not resist what he's telling me to do, because I've chosen this, and now it's happening inside of my life, and I need to walk and follow after the Lord. God doesn't need to have to drag me along to get my attention. I like to say it, and my staff's probably heard it more than one time, don't be a boat anchor. Anybody ever had a boat before? All right. If you don't have one, go back there and see him. You had a boat before? Have you ever forgot that you dropped the anchor and you wailed down on it and you're pulling half of the trees from the river because you forgot to pull the boat anchor up? Some folks towards God are a boat anchor. He's saying, let's move on over here. There's better fishing over here, but we're tied into something over here. You need to pick up the boat anchor and say, Lord, I'm following you. Even when I don't see all the clear, I'm still after you. You just make any inclination. The more you know the Lord, he shouldn't have to get your attention by opening his mouth all the time. He ought to be able to just look at you and you go, okay, we're going this direction. Bible says that there's a voice behind us that would say, turn here, turn there. Come on, somebody. All right. So Jesus came to restore that to us. So the new birth then is a beginning point followed by a life of growth. And we grow into Christ's likeness. So I know that you would like to think that when you got saved, he opened up your head, dumped everything you need to know inside of your head, and you're on. But that isn't the way it works. Okay? And if you know anything about God, he is ever revealing himself to us. And he reveals himself to us through our difficulties, our trials, our blessings, whatever that it may be. We're all a work in progress. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're a work in progress. The word disciple, well, let me say, the word Christian appears three times in the scripture. The word disciple shows up more than 300 times in the scripture. a follower of the Lord. So with that in mind, one of the basic laws of spiritual growth is that we follow Jesus, but he does the making. We follow, he does the making. In other words, we don't have to make ourselves. If you follow the Lord, he will make you. He'll make you fishers of men. He'll make you whatever you need to be, whatever he needs you to be. So I want you to get this, because disciples, all right, this is the only place I'm going to say this. The disciples of the Lord must have fat qualities. And here they are. All right, I got it right here, y'all. Fat qualities. Here's the fat quality. It's an acrostic. I'm trying to get your attention here tonight. Some of y'all are slow coming in, and so I'm trying to get you there. Fat qualities. Number one, faithful. If you're going to be a disciple of the Lord, there you go. If you're going to be a disciple of the Lord, you're going to have to be faithful to the Lord. You can't be faithful to two. You got to be faithful to one. Y'all with me right there? This is critical. You can't be faithful to two lords. You can't be faithful to two wives. You can't be faithful to two husbands. Okay? You can't be faithful to two churches. All right? You got to understand that faithfulness, God counts faithfulness so big in that he says this. He says, when you get to heaven, if you're born again, the words you're going to hear are, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's going to pay you because of your faithfulness. Faithfulness and availability. I asked you, are you available for the Lord? Now think about that. Think about what I'm going to tell you. Because if the Lord tells you to give up your time to go and do something else, are you willing to be available? Are you available? Do you have time left in your schedule for God? This is a disciple. Oh, Pastor, I'm so busy. Maybe you're too busy. Maybe something needs to drop off of your calendar so you can make room to be a disciple of the Lord. Pastor, I just don't have enough time to read my Bible. I mean, I pray on the go, and, you know, that's about the best I can do. And I hear this all the time, and I understand that. I understand people get busy. But I'm just saying, if that's the modus operandi, if that is the mode of operation for you, then something is getting more attention than the Lord. I'm talking about being a disciple here, y'all. How many of you want to be a disciple? Let me see your hand. All right, I want to be a follower of the Lord. I don't want the Lord to have to drag me down the road to get my attention. I've got to make myself available. Hey, it's not just for that. What if God said, you know what, today I'm going to use Fred to heal somebody. I'm going to use his hands, and I'm going to give him this moment. And there you are. Somebody comes up, and they're saying, hey, pray for me. I've got this problem, pain right now, yada, yada, yada. Okay, I'll pray for you. I'll see you. Just missed your availability. I'm going to tell you, one of the most important things you could do is not only be available for the Lord. You know, way back in the day, and even today, people want to put a label on something. Well, I'm a healing evangelist, or I'm this, or I'm that. You know what? I want to be available. So if the Lord wants to use me in healing today, my hands and my feet, my mind, my eyes, my mouth are available. If you want to use me to be a servant and go over here and scrub somebody's, you know, bathroom, whatever, I'm available to do what you want me to do. I can tell we're getting a lot of takers. So available, all right? Let's go here. Let's go to able, because each one of these stack on the next one. Are you with me tonight? Yes. I say, are you with me tonight? Talk back to me. Don't you let some lazy spirit get you, because if you don't get this, all the shouting that goes on in this service won't make a hill of beans. Because if all you get is what you eat and you don't have anything to serve anybody else, you're not available for the Lord. How many of you know leftovers are good stuff? Yes. Amen. I got some waiting in the refrigerator right now. How many of you know lima beans on the third day are better than the first day? Amen. I got some takers. You know what I'm talking about. You got to let them stay there a little while. Soak it up. Why? because it's always better. It's always better. So everything and what you're doing as a disciple should always be developing better. That means that I'm faithful, I'm available, and that I'm able to teach other people. Now, stop. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to get a platform. Your platform is the secretary's desk next to you. It's the coworker that you're on the job with. You're able to teach because that you have been taught. That's what's happening here tonight. I'm teaching you. My job is to bring you the Word of God on a Wednesday night, but that's not all you should be eating. Anybody eat yesterday? Jesus, don't kill the liars or I won't have a congregation. Did you eat yesterday? Did we have church yesterday? No. Y'all had prayer meeting, but there was a fraction of what showed up here tonight. Come on now. I'm trying to help you understand. You ate yesterday and you ate Monday. If you only eat on Sunday and Wednesday night, but I'm just saying, you are what you eat. And if you don't eat well, you can't teach well. If you're so up and downy that people can't see Christ there, then it makes no difference if you are faithful and available. You're not able to translate what you have eaten to fix it for somebody else. Are you with me? I'm talking about being fat. Here's T. Teachable. Are you teachable? These are the four qualities of a disciple: faithful, available, able, teachable. Are you teachable? Are you teachable? Can I be taught? Now, being taught is not something most of the time that I already know. If I'm being taught something, most of the time, it's something that I don't already know. So when you think you know what you don't know, and someone comes to teach you what you don't know, but you think you know, there's an automatic resistance. Because I'm sorry, I already know. Can you imagine Jesus walking by Matthew? I love this. Well, Peter did it. Let me give you the example. Can you imagine? Here it is. Jesus is walking by Peter, and he says, "Hey, how's the fishing today?" Peter says, "It's been rough. We fished all night." And we didn't catch anything. And so we're putting it up for the day because we know, because my daddy and my daddy's daddy were fishermen. And I went to church that was called the First Church of Fish. And my pastor's last name was Fisher. And we know all about fishing. And Jesus says, go ahead on out. And this time, don't throw on that side of the boat. Throw on this side of the boat. I have a feeling that was the sound that Jesus heard right there. That sound of silence right there from Peter, who said, hey, you just showed up here, Galilee. It's what he was saying. He said, we fished all night. We got this. Thank God for the word, this gigantic word, nevertheless. Amen. That was the change of his mind that said, I know I've been fishing all night, and I know how to put the nets out, and I know what these fish look like, and I know how to do this, but in spite of all that I know, I'm still teachable. Come on, church. I know I'm 85 years old. I know I'm 186,000 years old, but I might still learn something from someone who's older than I am, Jehovah God.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, Remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.